Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. It's a good day to think of that poem inscribed at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, because today is World Refugee Day. But what do those words mean in 2018 in light of our current immigration policies? According to a report released today by the International Rescue Committee, the United States is accepting fewer and fewer refugees. So far this year, there's been a 71% drop in refugee arrivals to the United States. Here to discuss the report's findings is David Miliband, President and CEO of the International Rescue Committee. David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's very good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
So before we even get into the report, I want to ask you about the 71% drop. What is driving that? Is that purely about the Trump administration's policies and rhetoric about refugees? Are there other impetuses?
Well,
because that is
not,
a gigantic
it
drop.
It is. It's certainly not the lack of refugees in the world, because on World Refugee Day every year, the United Nations publishes the figures for the number of refugees around the world, and it's at record levels. 68 million people displaced by conflict and persecution. About 25 million of them cross borders as refugees. 40 million of them stay within their own home countries, but are homeless, and 3 million are the asylum seekers of the kind that you're seeing on the southern border at the moment. The explanation for the 71% fall in the number of refugees who are being admitted to the United States is a policy question. The Trump administration inherited a situation where more or less every American president since Ronald Reagan had been admitting about 90,000 refugees a year. Actually, Ronald Reagan, at the height of the Vietnamese boat crisis, in the aftermath of that in the early 1980s, he admitted 200,000 a year. The Trump administration said, we're only going to admit 45,000. So that was a halving of the numbers. But actually, in enforcing the policy, they're admitting only 21,000. So you're seeing these extraordinary drops in the number of refugees, not just Muslims, an 80% drop in the number of Muslim refugees, but also a 60% drop in the number of Christian refugees. So this is a massive U-turn on America's extraordinary history in this area.
And let's talk a little bit about that history. And I just want to be clear, is it that these are folks who are arriving and not being admitted, or are these folks, the 71% drop is just folks have stopped coming entirely?
No, I use the term admissions very carefully, because the 71% drop is the deliberate policy decision by the administration to reduce the number of refugees who are admitted to this country under the Refugee Resettlement Program. That's an organized, planned transfer of refugees from countries like Kenya or Ethiopia or Lebanon or Jordan to this country. You've then got a separate issue, which is the crossings of the southern border and people claiming asylum. Actually, some of those numbers are down as well. But that's a different issue that's come into the headlines most recently. And obviously, you've seen the difficulties that the administration has caused, not just for children and families, but for themselves in the different positions they've been taking.
Now, many people, especially those who are rallying against migrants and refugees, and we've heard from some of people who say they completely agree with these policies, this assumption, this rhetoric that we are hearing, not just from our president, but we also did a segment yesterday on how this is spreading increasingly in Europe, very anti-immigrant, anti-refugee rhetoric, which is basically saying that by bringing in more refugees, we're going to increase crime and jobs are going to be taken away. Can we talk about the facts behind that?
I know it's unfashionable to have facts in place of
emotion. Not here. On the takeaway,
exactly,
we love
that
facts.
I was about to say. So thanks. Thank goodness for the takeaway that's willing to be a fact-full zone and not a fact-free zone. Look, first of all, the fact is that 60% of Americans say that they actually think this country should welcome refugees. Secondly, the president, from the top down, he said Germany is suffering a crime wave because of the refugees who have arrived there. Wrong. Crime is at the lowest level since 1992 in Germany. Third, people often say, but there's not proper vetting of refugees who are arriving. Actually, it's more difficult to get to America as a refugee than by any other route. It's 18 months of careful vetting by the FBI, the CIA, all sorts of agencies in the run-up to the refugee resettlement process. And then the final fact, which I think is important as well, people often worry, well, are these people going to be claiming welfare benefits? Actually, the fact is that refugees pay more in taxes than they receive in welfare benefits. So when you look at the facts, you realize that resettling...
Let's just make sure people understand that, that refugees are paying taxes.
They're paying taxes because they're getting jobs. And one of the great things about the American system is that it's work first. After 3 months of benefits that support you for the initial period of your stay in the United States, all the effort is to get you into work. And of course, work is a great integrator as well as a great contributor. So refugees pay more in taxes as employees. They're also 30% more likely to create businesses than the host population. Remember, these people are accountants and physical trainers, as well as factory workers and farmers from places around the world, and they are fleeing for their lives. This is the baker from Damascus whose house is bombed by President Assad. It's the girls in northeast Nigeria who are chased from their homes by Boko Haram, the terrorist group. These are people who know the value of freedom. So when they arrive here, they're determined to make the most of it.
So let's also talk about what's driving refugees. And you mentioned some of that. But we also can't ignore that some of the advisors in your organization, including Madeleine Albright and Colin Powell and Henry Kissinger, have also been linked to very aggressive U.S. foreign policy actions that some would argue have destabilized and increased flow of refugees.
Well, it's an important point to look at the causes of this. And the cause at the moment, remember, there are record numbers of people fleeing war and persecution today than in the days of Madeleine Albright or others. But nonetheless, you're right to point out that there is a crisis of diplomacy around the world. The wars that are producing the flows of refugees in Syria, in South Sudan, the persecution in Burma, Myanmar, of the Rohingya population, 800,000 arriving in Bangladesh over the last 9 months, that is a symptom of the failure of diplomacy. And so one of the points we make to the administration is don't just take refugees here, don't just be a good aid provider, but invest in diplomacy. And so it's worrying to hear the administration say that they don't just want to cut the number of refugees coming here. They don't just want to cut the amount of humanitarian aid that the United States gives. They also want to cut the diplomatic service, because, of course, this is a time when we need more effective diplomacy, not less diplomacy.
Well, and obviously, you mentioned earlier what's happening on the southern, the U.S.-Mexico border. Particularly, I'm curious to your reaction about the separation policy that has been implemented. Just this morning, we reported on the new facilities that are being built for babies. And that's right, babies. So I'm wondering, what is your reaction to that decision?
The first reaction is, as a father, utter horror. My father was a refugee, actually. And he fled from Nazi-occupied Belgium to the UK with his father. The idea that he would be torn away, he was 16 at the time, so he wasn't as young as the people you're talking about. So first, sheer horror. Secondly, this country, if it stands for anything, stands for generosity of spirit and human values. And the disjunction between the commitment to family values on the one hand and the tearing apart of families on the other sticks in the craw. But it's also important to recognize these are people exercising the legal right to flee from countries where they are unsafe and to claim asylum, to have their case properly heard. The people who are fleeing from El Salvador, from gang violence in Honduras or Guatemala. And the United States is a signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention, actually.
I don't know how much longer we will be. We seem to be pulling out of many human rights policies as it is.
Well, that's a good point. The U.S. has, for the last 70 years, been the anchor of the global system. Sometimes it's made mistakes, sometimes big mistakes. But it's always been clear about what the benchmark of values that it's willing to stand by. It will be a tragedy, not just for the U.S., but for the wider world, to see it retreat from those deepest commitments. And let's be clear, that's not just more human suffering. But when humanitarian issues are not addressed, there's more political instability. It's a true vicious circle.
David Miliband is president and CEO of the International Rescue Committee. David, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.